All right, that's Jay-Z there with 99 Problems. That's the Prodigy's remix thereof. I had a text message here just before we go to Selwyn. Somebody saying that we all need Bicentennial Man, referring to the population going up to 7 billion. And I did a bit of research. I don't know what Bicentennial Man is. It's a film with Robin Williams. I don't know whether we need Robin Williams. He's about as funny as dengue fever. Anyway, that said, I'll tell you what, let's get to this.
Oh, here he comes! Hey. Minister!
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 How are you? Minister, answer, how's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
Hello, Selwyn.
Yeah, good day, John.
How are you? Are you well?
I'm all right. Yeah.
Lovely. So this week we're on about elections and the electioneering that's going on at the moment. It started already.
Just in case someone was hiding under the bed for the last 24 hours and they didn't realise we have an election campaign that has kicked into gear now.
Yeah.
And it all started yesterday with the formalities where we had Sean Elias, the Chief Justice, sign the writ that kicks off the election campaign, so all the legalities out of the way. Usually the Governor-General does that, but old Sir Jerry, he's up in Saudi Arabia attending funeral things. The Crown Prince up there had passed away, so that's where he is. But yes, so the two main parties, I guess they were getting most of the limelight in the news last night, and they continue to get that through today. We have Labor is going to release details, we believe, on its retirement package. And Duncan Garner's done a very good piece, actually, on 3 News. He's written a bit of a blog entry here where he is saying that at 2 o'clock, Labor is going to actually announce a retirement, that the retirement age will go up under Labor, that its policy will shift it so that by 2033... trying to calculate to see if that, whether that affects me. You'll have to be 67 to get the pension, as opposed to the 65 years of age that is currently now. Now, this is a big problem. You know, you talked about the ageing population, the populations of the globe increasing. New Zealand certainly is going to be facing tough times. So all of our listeners, you know, in our working lives, we're going to be paying a lot more of the tax take to pay for pensions if things don't change in that way. So it's a real problem for politicians. But that's one of the things we're expecting to come out at 2 o'clock. Yep. But what we do know is, if first off we just kind of hit it, Labor and National as a comparison kind of thing, we can see that the two main parties, National and Labor, are totally taking different strategic approaches to this campaign. We're seeing National, you know, the biggest strength National has got is obviously its leader, John Key. People obviously love him by the thousands, and you know, every billboard, as people will have noticed around the place, just about on every corner around the joint, you see John Key's face there, some smiling, some looking very assured, right next to the candidate. So they're saying, basically, you can see National saying, you vote for our National Party candidate here, you're also putting a vote in for this guy you love, John Key. Labor, on the other side of things, many people might have seen on the news last night that Labor and its election billboards, do not see Phil Goff's face on them at all. You just see the candidate and a bit of a slogan there. And on Labor's pamphlet thing, I've got one in my hand at the moment, there's not one picture of Phil Goff on it. It's all policy. So Labor's strategy and the tactics it use will be to advance debate on policy. National, it's going to be making a big play of prime ministerial leadership.
Have you seen the adverts that they've put out now? Have you witnessed them?
Yeah. National were hitting it. They seem to have bought up quite a lot of TV space last night. That was the main one that was coming out. Phil Goff's one, I guess people have seen that. He's kind of sitting there alone with some state assets in the background.
Just as a matter of fact, because Phil Goff kind of came out with kind of a sort of faux policy launch on Sunday, is that right? And then today they've kind of, you know, they're really going for it, as you said, a bit later on today. What do you think was behind that? Why would he come out and say, this is kind of what we're going to do, but now the party is going to actually launch it from caucus? What do you think was behind that?
Oh, it's hard to say. I think in some ways Labor did a similar thing over the capital gains tax. If we look at its strategy there, it was quite an effective one. It did like a soft launch. It got the information that it wanted to out early and then followed up a good week or so. You know, it was about 9 days, I think,
yeah.
But something like that. Later with the official launch with all the detail of the capital gains tax policy that it was going to push. And in that momentum, it was criticised. I guess we, you know, many pundits kind of criticising Labor for doing that soft launch of the capital gains tax. Mm. I remember, I think you and I, it was one of the others at BFM, discussed the strategy and kind of thought, well, actually, you know, it seems to be getting favour here with business community, and that's really where it was trying to actually, you know, make National look soft on taking hard options. And if that worked there, well, then you can connect it to this other thing. And like for middle New Zealand, this policy that we are expecting to come out this afternoon, if Labor does increase the retirement age to 67, I mean, these are big issues for the politicians. You know, these are ones that they would normally lose votes on. It's almost like Labor, like with the capital gains tax, if this retirement age increase is correct, coming out with these types of policies, it's almost as if it's saying, look, we're going to be brave in this election. We're going to do things that no other party is prepared to do. Duncan Garner, in his blog, he makes note of there's one problem here, and it's Winston Peters' party, the New Zealand First Party. If New Zealand First does actually, you know, pull the cat out of the hat, so to speak, and gets over the 5% threshold in this election, Peters always reserves his decision on what party he will attached to in a coalition or not until after the election. But it's anticipated that he's probably got more common ground with the Labor Party than he does with the National Party. But that doesn't mean at the end of the day, it doesn't mean a lot.
Mm.
But Labor would have a problem if it was going to increase the age of eligibility for retirement pensions. New Zealand First, Winston Peters himself, you know, they represent the interests of retirement people, and I don't know if that one would go down too well. But Duncan, anyway, goes into that quite well. If people are interested in that kind of thing and the politicking of it, it's worth checking out on 3 News.
Yeah, it's all a bit of a stew, and then you've got obviously the sort of lesser parties in that, and as you said at the beginning, it's mainly your Nationals and your Labours that are kind of getting this sort of spotlight at the moment. Do you see? I mean, because I've not been in New Zealand for an election before, so forgive my ignorance, but you know, are these smaller parties like your Manas and for instance, the Maori Party, are they going to? Will we see more emphasis on them as the election campaign progresses?
Yes, you do. And what we see is that the polling for the smaller parties generally traditionally increases in an MMP environment during the election campaign, and they generally mostly get it more off those two big parties. So that's bad news for Labor, and it's you know, not so bad news for National, but it's still not good for National. So you could expect that the support for National to have already reached its ceiling, and that during the campaign, it's due to the exposure of the leaders into the mainstream media usually, and people seeing what they're actually saying and thinking, oh, actually, that makes sense. And you know, people kind of thinking, okay, well, my party list vote might go that way, et cetera, et cetera. With National, we know a lot of what it stands for. We've experienced it the last 3 years. We know what it's going to be changing from its own strategy point of view. We can see it's shifting to the centre-right. With ACT looking like it's potentially going to completely fall over, National will occupy a lot of that space that ACT once had economically.
Yeah.
And that's not even an arguable or debatable point. That's pretty much how it's going to probably go if ACT's out of the space.
Yeah.
So with the policies with National, we can see what it's like as a government now, but we can expect things like asset sales or, you know, peddling them out to the share market as it said it would. We can see more cutbacks of the bureaucracy relating to the public service and potentially during mid to late term, but probably around mid-term, some real change in the cultures of some of the core social portfolio areas, like in health and education. We could see perhaps, you know, the raising of the issue of, you know, commercialising some of those services in a fundamental way, like National Party did in the early to mid 1990s. And that is basically commercialising the state asset models of social provision. that kind of thing could come in. We're not seeing them talk. What we do know for certain is that National has not been talking tax this time round, and one can only assume that it's tax cut kind of pitch that it made in the 2008 election, that it's already gone as far as it possibly can with the economy. It cannot give any more tax cuts. And with it not talking tax cuts, one can kind of anticipate that, you know, it's not going to go any lower. And in some ways, it may be that it lets Labor raise this issue of capital gains tax, and then the actual National Party makes a move on that once it's in government. So, you know, it's all due to subjective kind of analysis, I suppose, but that's currently where we see it. With the Greens, I mean, expect a big push from the Greens. There's a lot of issues that, you know, the public is sensitive to that fit right in its area. So that one, Mana is an interesting one. It's polling quite low at the moment, but you could expect it to perhaps gel with a lot of people that are dissatisfied with where the Māori Party is positioned, and just very quickly and simply, the Māori Party over its term in office with the National Party has kind of leaned more toward looking after the interests of iwi or Māori that are attaching to iwi or the tribes around the country, whereas it used to embrace both urban Māori interests and iwi-based kind of politics. Now the Māori Party has pretty much disenfranchised itself from a lot in the urban Māori experience. Mm-hmm. The Mana Party is trying to pick up that, but also a lot of ordinary vote or the general vote as well, with people who are thinking, actually, you know, I'm a working person here and I'm not getting a fair deal, and the Mana Party's kind of trying to get there. So you might see, you know, a couple of extra percent going in there quite easily, but all time will tell, won't it?
How do you see Christchurch affecting the election campaigns for the various parties?
Well, Christchurch has always been an interesting city, and the Canterbury region in general, quite an interesting one when you map it out. The heart of Christchurch has been very much loyal to the Labor Party over the years, and even last time, while the swing was against Labor and many, it still returned MPs or put MPs into Parliament, like Brendan Burns, for example, and at one stage we thought that that seat was going to go National. So there are the Conservative seats in the Christchurch block as well that are loyal to National. And what we could see there is particularly in those that are they're unhappy, perhaps, with the way Gerry Brownlee has been governing the whole pace of the rebuild or positioning, you know, for compensation and insurance claim relating to their own homes and things like that. We might see a bit of a swing against National in that area that is not yet showing up in the polls. Certainly the Labor MPs have been working very hard down there and putting out statements every day, you know, on what is going down in the whole of the Christchurch area. So there are a few anomalies that are around. And it will be interesting to see really how it maps out, I suppose, from a political science point of view even, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, again, it's that time of the week where we're going to have to wrap it up. But as I say every week, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Selwyn. And I look forward to our next telephonic meeting.
Yeah,
I just invented that phrase.
Like name of a group, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. Okay, I can't imagine they'd be very good, though. All right, have a great weekend, my friend.
See ya.
See ya. Bye. All right, that was Selwyn Manning there with our weekly feature, Counterclockwise. He's from scoop.co.nz. I want you to stay tuned, because after this short messages, I'm hopefully going to be speaking to somebody in Christchurch, which we spoke about now, Professor John Harding. He's at the University of Canterbury, and he'll be up shortly after this.